Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Doing well. Thanks for having me, guys.
It's good to have you here. Let me start with the personal thanks. Back in another world, another lifetime, in February, when we were getting together to do things like charity events, you, several Giants, came out to support the Guardsmen. You were wonderful at the sports auction. I got to meet you. My wife and I spoke to you and your wife for a little while. You couldn't have been a nicer guy. Thank you so much for coming on out and supporting an important local charity. That really meant a lot to us. You didn't have to do it being so new in the city, but there you were. Thanks so much, man.
Absolutely. I had a great time at that event, and they're a first-class organization and put on a wonderful event, so we had a blast meeting you guys there too.
Thank you. It was really good to have you. That is normally the weekend where players gather in San Francisco and then go on to Scottsdale. And that's exactly what you did, but you weren't in Scottsdale very long, obviously. What have the subsequent weeks been like for you, Mike?
They've been hit and miss, you know, because we were very unsure of what was going on. So those are the times where you got to kind of do your own work in private and, you know, trust that what you're doing is the right thing for the process.
But not knowing that is probably a little unsettling, given the fact that your entire career and the entire careers of everybody around you have always had that sort of six-week structure before a season starts, where you can not only get your work in, but get your work in with other people with whom you can bounce ideas off of. And now you're getting your work in probably largely by yourself. How disorienting is that?
It's kind of tough, but one of the best things is that the Giants do a great job of checking in on you. They would get on Zoom calls once a week, and you could call the hitting coaches or anybody you really needed to. So that open line of communication was huge for us, and that was really honestly reassuring in a time where you don't know what's going on. So continuing communication and trying to plan those next steps and making sure that your workouts are all set and they can get as much swings and as much throwing in as possible.
Mike, to that effect, I'm curious, because we've seen some of the setups for the NBA guys that are high profile. Where are you getting this work in, if you don't mind me asking? Like, who are you working with? Where are you getting the work in during this time right now?
Yeah, I was really lucky enough, because my roommate in spring training was actually a guy with the Reds, Kurt Casale. And so we kind of started our quarantine together, and he lives in Nashville. And we had a little high school that the two of us could go down to, since we knew we'd been around each other so much. So we had just the two of us, and we'd go hit BP. And then eventually we got some pitchers to throw to us and kind of kept our distance. So it worked out really nicely, fortunately, for me.
Do you still call Nashville your off-season home? I know you're a Vandy guy.
I do, yeah. We're living in Nashville now, and obviously we're back in the Bay Area with everything starting to get going again, but Nashville's been a great city for me, and ever since I went there for college, I've definitely called it home.
Did you know that since Missouri and Texas A&M have joined the SEC, Vanderbilt no longer has the worst in-conference football record? Arkansas is now the caboose of the SEC. Congratulations to Commodores everywhere.
Yeah, we'll take every little step that we can. And in that sense, we're really looking to improve. And I think they're starting to build a really good program, and the school's committed to it. So it's been fun to follow.
There you go. Go Vandy. What are you expecting to hop into when you hop into Oracle Park tomorrow to restart spring training? Like, what's the first thing you do? You a little long toss to loosen up the arm? You going to hop in the cage first? What's the first thing Yastrzemski does walking in?
Say hi to everyone from a distance.
Fair enough.
I think that's the most important thing, especially with 60 games. Getting some good team camaraderie and making sure that everybody is on the same page and abiding by the rules, making sure that we're staying safe. So once we can kind of clear all that, then we'll be on our way.
Ignoring the safety protocols that are going to be all around you, baseball has always been a sport in which you could sort of build up to your true pace. In a 60-game season where that's not possible, how do you maintain sort of an equilibrium day to day? Because basically you're going to get 63% fewer at bats, 63% fewer times in the outfield, that every game suddenly has an importance that's 1.5 times what it used to be. How do you manage to sort of maintain the equilibrium that you've always been taught to have in a season where basically if you get off to a slow start, you're done?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like September baseball all the way around. We were in a really good chance in August and September to play really meaningful games. So I think we have a good core group that's kind of used to that. And the second part to that is we have a ton of guys that went to college. Even though we may have guys that have been out of college for a while, we all know what it's like to play a 58-game season. So I think having that experience is going to be really beneficial. And so that's one of those things that you're going to kind of lean on your past experiences and try and get an advantage from that.
Mike, I'm curious. Last year, you played a lot of corner outfield for this team, and you played it very well. What's the idea this year? Are you going to play a little center, or are you going to be maybe back to right and left field?
I honestly have no idea. I've been telling Cap from day one and Farhan as well that I'm comfortable playing wherever they feel that is best for the team. I just want to be in the lineup as much as possible and trying to impact the game however I can, whether it's left, center, or right.
Designated hitter, Mike Yastrzemski. I think I just threw up in my mouth a little.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that one will fall on me, even though we have the option. We've got a ton of guys that have some heavy bats, so I think we'll find a way to get those guys into the lineup.
Yeah, you had just about as heavy a bat in that lineup last year, no doubt. Mike Yastrzemski in his second season with the Giants, Gabe Kapler coming into his first season. All sorts of big shoes to fill, obviously, with Bruce Bochy exiting stage left. But how difficult is it going to be to establish, a culture in 60 games for a first year in the dugout with the Giants, Gabe Kapler? I mean, it was going to be tough just stepping in no matter what. This makes it even tougher, doesn't it?
I think it does, but Cap did a really good job before he even got us to spring training. He was traveling around to meet guys and have lunch with people, and he's huge on creating a relationship, and we've already started that and continued it over Zooms and phone calls. And I think that his willingness to put himself in the trenches is going to be what's going to get guys to really, really buy into him and how hard he works himself, where it's hard to be someone who doesn't work as hard as your manager.
How this is a ridiculous question to ask, but I'm just the girl to do it. How much do you not know about Gabe Kapler as a manager that you would have learned if you'd had a full spring training and a regular? I mean, how far sort of behind that curve is he with the players and the players with him?
I would say he's actually ahead of the curve. Like I was saying, because he'd been working his tail off to travel the country to see us. And when you have somebody who's willing to put in that amount of effort into you as a person, then you can't help but give them your best. And when that happens and you get a full group working in the same direction, you never know what the outcome can be.
Mike, I've been watching Giants baseball for 35 years, and I got to admit, last year was pretty not good, you know what I mean, on a variety of levels. But what happened in September with you going to Boston was a Disney moment. I mean, it really was. Are you sick of the Fenway talk of you hitting the home run, getting the standing ovation from the Boston crowd? I mean, that because I'm being real, that was one of the cooler moments last year as a Giants fan.
Yeah, you know, I don't think you can ever get tired of those really, really strong emotional moments. That's kind of why you play the game, is because as a kid we all wanted to play in our hometown and hit a home run in front of our families, and that's kind of the pinnacle of the sport, obviously, unless you can be doing it in the World Series. But the memories that I feel like were created with my family there and my wife and my mom and in-laws on the field, and, you know, my grandmother was there, got to catch the first pitch with my grandfather. Those things are moments that I will never forget, and lucky that we have technology to have video proof of it.
Let me tell you, you proved yourself very patient, not only at the plate at times, but with all the questions you got, with Mo Vaughn being your grandfather and all. It must have gotten very, very disturbing, you know.
No, it's great. That's part of the territory with the name. You know, everybody's got different responsibilities that they hold, and I'm fortunate to be in the family that I'm in, so I just embraced it.
Well, very patient with the same question coming at you 700 times in a weekend, that's for sure. Mike Yastrzemski here on 95.7 The Game. So when you walk into the ballpark, you're going to be playing without a single fan sitting in the seats. I guess there's going to be some cardboard cutouts staring back at you. What's going to be odder, no eyeballs or no sound coming from the stands?
I think it'll be no sound, but it's one of those things where this is probably going to be one of the coolest times in the history of baseball, because it's going to be like the Sandlot. It's just a bunch of guys that love playing the game, and we're all out there trying to put on a show for people that can watch at home, but it's really going to come down to, you know, who wants to play baseball, and you're going to really see who loves the game and who doesn't, I think.
How good are you at watching your language when you're just playing?
that's part of where I like the sound. I'm definitely a self-talk guy, so we'll see. I think I'll be more cognizant of it this time.
Are you a big spitter? Are you a seeds guy? Because I know, like they're saying, don't spit, no seeds, no licking the fingers for pitchers.
Yeah, I am a big seeds guy, so that's going to be a little bit of a change. I know we're allowed to chew gum, so I think I'm going to have to make a little transition.
Do you go just salt seeds, or do you go ranch, Tabasco? Are you a David's guy? What seeds are you? What's your choice seed?
I'm usually what's available, but I'm a big Spitz cracked pepper guy.
Spitz cracked pepper.
Throw away out of the park on that one, but that is my favorite.
You got to stay hydrated with those ones, though, unfortunately, because they just get you real, real sodium mouth, as I like to call it. Mike, did you watch the junior doc? Did you watch the 1998 doc at all? Because, man, I got to be honest with you. Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, Ken Griffey Jr., those were the guys from my childhood. Were any of those guys your guy in the backyard? Were you ever emulating Jr. or Sosa or McGwire?
I was always emulating Junior. That was kind of like, that was so nostalgic for me, because I remember in 99 was when they had the All-Star game at Fenway. Yeah. And I was fortunate enough to go to the Home Run Derby and watch the All-Star game. And when they were hitting balls over the light tower, it was like you couldn't believe it. And the buzz that was going around the ballpark at that time was so fun. Just to be in the seats at one of those games was so exciting. And I got to relive that again. And so that was so cool, and I thought ESPN did a great job with that.
And, of course, your grandfather was there, Ted Williams, with your other grandfather, Tony Gwynn. All your grandfathers were there that day.
My whole family was there.
Did you and your grandfather talk much during the period when there were no games? I mean, because he was, you know, he endured his share of lockouts, too. Was he of any kind of resource in helping you sort of understand not just the issues as presented, but the undercurrent thereof? And more to the point, was he able to sort of allow you to keep patient through all the waiting and the, we're not playing, oh, maybe we are, oh, we're playing 80 games, no, you're playing 40. I mean, was he of any kind of resource in getting you through that period?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, he's taken a more of a listening approach with me instead of a speaking approach. So he doesn't just call and give me advice. It's more or less he's there as an ear. If I had any complaints or anything like that, you know, he would be there. But mostly when he would call, it was for updates. He was just curious on when we were going to start, what I'd really been doing. He told me to stop playing as much golf as I was. but it was good.
Did you learn that being a player rep is more of a pain in the ass than it seems?
Yeah, I think that was one of the things that stuck out to me a lot, was seeing how hard it is to actually go through that process, because everybody has their own individual opinions, and there's, you know, 1,200 of them for every team. And it is tough to sit through those situations when all we really wanted to be doing was be back on the field, but our health and safety comes first.
Was the level of frustration that we were seeing from both sides as real as it seemed, or was that a whole bunch of PR public warfare, and it is actually a little bit more, there was more decorum behind the scenes the whole time? It felt like war.
You know, it felt like that at times, and I think those are the things that, in a time of pandemic where everybody needs to understand that there's a bigger picture going on, and we all just need to take the proper steps to be, you know, part of our communities and help out where we need to. And that was one of the things that I felt like I was able to do a little more in Nashville, was to be safe and to be doing my part to make sure that we can do what we can to get rid of this virus.
Mike, we really thank you for joining us, man. This was an awesome conversation. You're as good a guy today as you were that night at the Guardsman Sports Auction. Thank you so much for being so candid. I want to wrap up with this. What's a good season for Mike Yastrzemski? In a year where no normal numbers can be attached to it, what would make you think that 2020 was a good year for you? Not your team, you personally.
You know what? Finding a way to impact this city positively. You know, if one person smiles or kind of forgets about what's going on in the world today to just sit down and watch a baseball game, then I think I did my part, and then I was successful. Bringing a little peace and happiness and a little sense of normalcy would be a success for me.
It's a great answer, man. Thank you so much. We're sure that you're going to get on your way to putting some smiles on faces if we indeed do have this season. Our fingers are crossed. For you and all your teammates, man, health, success, and have a good one. Thank you so much, Mike.
Thank you, guys. It's always a pleasure.
Mike Yastrzemski, San Francisco Giants outfielder, here on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.